The other brass tacks. One of the items that we placed on the agenda today was this statement which has been made on Chin Chin's Facebook page about the difficulties that have forced them to close 3 of their restaurants. And they have mentioned things like the problems with currency from out of the UK, but they've also mentioned taxes in Barbados and what they see as a discrimination between those restaurants that are in the hotel properties and those that are standalone, like the ones that they were operating. Here's a response from someone who says that they didn't mention the competition of new players in the market. This person goes on to mention a couple of those new places where locals and tourists alike are looking for good food at inexpensive prices. The writer says it is good to do fine dining, but it can't be a regular activity. You see, if you go to a restaurant and you are paying at least $125 US per meal per person, and you have 3 courses plus wine, then you know where that is taking your bill. They say that our tourists are learning how to find the restaurants that are actually giving you inexpensive food. Now, I can tell you that there are many people who are reluctant to eat out in Barbados because of the high price. It is. Now, the people who are running the restaurants and stuff will say, yes, it's high price because of the high taxes. That's what they're going to tell you. So the counter then to that is, and how is it that some others are able to do it at a much lower price? I'm not here to give advertising to anybody for free, and therefore I won't call the name of this one. But there is a particular one on the South Coast where, I mean, it appears as though it's forever packed. And people feel very strongly that it is value for money. So while you complain on the one hand, you're going to get that pushback on the other, which questions your own decision-making and stuff like that. Unfortunately, in all of this, some jobs are being lost. And I suppose it would be interesting to hear from some people who work in the industry how they feel about what is happening when it comes to this restaurant industry in Barbados. There is another dimension to it. Street food has exploded, especially at weekends. Tourists are eating with the locals, and we say we want community-based tourism. So in those circumstances, would we not find that the established restaurants, or the higher-end restaurants, rather, will find greater competition? This is down to brass tacks.
Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
First-time caller.
Yes, pleasure having you.
I have 2 points I would like to put through, please. One is in connection with National Insurance Pension. I was a contributor to National Insurance from age of 16. I have worked for 42 years out of my life, have not drawn back National Insurance. I was retired, and I was getting a pension from Treasury until November last year. National Insurance pension should have kicked in as of January. When I went to National Insurance, they said it came down from, you used to apply 6 months before, then it came down to 3 months. I applied 3 months and 2 weeks before the time. Nothing has come through. When I check, no pension to come to my home, to the bank, nor the credit union. And I gone over to National Insurance to check. I was told in no uncertain terms that it has not been processed. I wanted to know why it has not been processed, and I was there myself. Nobody did it for me. Okay? They will do what they can as soon as possible. Week before, I called again. Last week, a young lady was very pleasant. She told me that when she finished talking to me, she used to go downstairs and get the check signed. All like, no, Mr. Ellis, I've heard nothing. But you know what hurts me to know? People that have not contributed to national insurance at no point in time getting a pension when the month comes, and people that contribute for all of these years, not a cent. I am not hungry, but you still got utility bills to pay. What is going on at national insurance? Another point, Light and Power. They are telling you you're not supposed to cut trees from the lines, which we all know that. 4 months ago, called Light and Power. There's a street light in the area that you cannot see it for the bush. The lines are covered with bush. You call, you made the complaint, you give them the number, the pole, whatever. Nothing. You call and you make a complaint about a street light not working. One person tell you, it is more than you want, just like that. That is not nice. You call back again, you tell them about the pole. All right, and you know the government ain't got no money. I don't think that has anything to do with it, Mr. Ellis. You can't see the street light. People walking about going to your houses. You cannot see nothing. And I don't think it is fair, it is right. You mean you call 4 times. And that is the attitude that they're going to take. It's not nice. And those are the things that bothers me. Because we are people just like they are. You have to pay Light and Power, yes. You have to pay for your utilities. Why it is that some of the workers have to get on with that kind of attitude? It's not nice. But I am more concerned. You know when they're going to come? When something happened to the pole or the sparks coming from the wire. That's when they're going to come. And that's when everything will be over. It is not nice. It is not fair. So we, the residents in the area, people are afraid to talk, not me. Because I know the problems that it can cause. Some time ago, you called them, they never came. Next thing you know, the transformer, that round thing on the pole, that explode. Thank you for listening to
me. Now, just let me say that on the question of the pension, which you raised.
Yes, please.
They told you that it's being processed. It's taking long to be processed, but they didn't tell you that you've been denied.
No, they said it has not been processed. You mean to tell me from the second week in August to the last week in January, the first week in February, and it has not been processed?
When they said it has not been processed, did you interpret that to mean that you're not going to get it?
She explained to me that it had not gone through what it's supposed to go through, and she's going to look into it, and then the auditors have to check it.
So it takes too long for you to get it.
Exactly.
That's basically it. But as I said, because one of your key points was that people who haven't contributed to NAS are getting pension.
When the month comes.
Right.
And after contributing for 42 years?
But this is a question of timing and process.
Understood.
I understand it to be that. And
yes.
The issue here is ultimately we have to be concerned that it's taking you too long to get it.
Exactly.
You know, I agree with you.
And as the old people will tell you, whilst the grass is growing, the horse is starving.
You should perhaps send us some information on the question of the light, Barbados Light and Power. Perhaps you can send us some information on the where you are and what's the poll number and that sort of thing. And let's see if we could ask the Light and Power what is the problem there with that particular situation.
Right.
But you have to give that information to the producer.
To the producer?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty all right. It's just a bit disturbed that for the last couple of months, Digicel have been giving me very poor internet service, and I don't like it. The bill don't change. For instance, over the weekend, I had no internet service to stream anything, and I like to follow the politics in America, the Democratic race. But what has me is that when you do a speed test, it's low. When you complain to them, they say they don't really give you a satisfactory answer. And the bill doesn't reflect that you're not getting proper service. I don't know what the Fair Trading Commission is doing because they've had several complaints. But if Digicel needs to increase its bandwidth so that when peak periods when there's heavy internet usage, persons can still access the internet, well, then they need to do that. I'm paying for 150 megs of internet. I shouldn't have buffering. And there's so much buffering. And then the ability to actually stream things like what happened on this last weekend is out. I had to resort to CBC. Anyway, that's one point. The next point is lighting power. I live in St. James, in the St. James area, and I reported 2 termite-eaten poles since 2018. The poles are barely hanging by a thread. The wires above that are holding them. I know lighting power did not respond. Actually, when I gave the young lady the information, she behaved like if, you know, there's something new. I give the pole number, I give the location, and no response. Now, if you know that the hurricane season is soon upon us, and perchance a utility pole could block a road during high winds, could bring that down with ease, and to complicate even a rescue or whatever, or a person needing to evacuate because the utility pole is falling across the road. These things are not good enough. So lighting power needs to do something about the termite-eaten poles that are reported to them, and Digicel needs to do something about its poor internet service. What are your thoughts, David?
Well, I think dealing with the Digicel issue, I think there's often a link between the poor service that you get from organizations or companies like this one and the bigger macro picture that they face. I mean, for quite some time, we have been hearing about the Digicel challenges. Fortunately, they haven't collapsed, and efforts have been ongoing to keep them afloat. But this is perhaps no different from the situation that was put to us about the problems that people were facing on a Sunday morning in the bus terminal. And that is communication. All too often what is happening in the country is that you're having this severe problem with issues, with some of the matters. And then it's perhaps taking too long to convey information to members of the public about what is happening. But sometimes that can be based upon the fact that the people who are on the front line don't necessarily convey the information to management on time. And, you know, sometimes you find that it takes too long for that information to go back to the people in marketing or PR or whatever department
right,
is responsible.
Why don't they hire a PRO, David?
But this all comes right back to the macro picture. Sometimes when you are under specific financial challenges, it is more difficult to expand staff and that sort of thing. And you find that companies are looking to see how they can work with the existing numbers to achieve the same objectives.
But then they give that responsibility to the operations officer.
But I don't know. I'm just speculating that could be part of the problem. I don't know their business well enough to say that with any degree of authority. It is quite possible, too, that they may very well have somebody who is supposed to be responsible for that, but for whatever reason, that person isn't doing the job in the way that you expect them to. you know, but I understand the concern that you have, because we live in a world today where the internet is vital. If you don't have the internet working properly, your business and your general communication are severely impacted by it. I mean, if you have an internet service that drops in and out, it can be grossly inconvenient.
You bet. You know. And I send a lot of my information for my work via the internet.
So you work remotely?
Yes. And I find that, well, I mean, but the majority of persons I communicate with communicate via email. If I cannot access my email, that could mean the difference between business or the closure of a deal or whatever. And the timelines, persons expect that services in Barbados work. You know, when they email you and say, well, could you respond by close of day on Friday, close of work on Friday by 4:30, and you're only seeing it on Monday morning at 8 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah, and that is internal when it comes to, like, internal within Barbados, or this is to clients outside of the country?
Clients outside and also within Barbados.
And in your case, you have been heavily reliant on the internet service for how many years now to do your business?
For the past 13 years.
Therefore, have you seen a deterioration in the quality of the internet service?
Definitely. Actually, I had left Flow I had left Cable and Wireless to go with Flow, and that worked pretty well. But then Flow got bought over by Cable and Wireless. And they were awful. Then I said, well, there's only one more player, and that's Digicel. And I went to Digicel, and it seems like it's a 1.5 dozen of the net.
Yeah, but this is something that should concern the government in particular, because government, more than anybody else, is fully conscious of the importance of this kind of communication. And they have to work closely with the telecoms providers to try to make sure that the country has the best possible network so that we can encourage and facilitate more business in this area. So this is where the Fair Trading Commission and the relevant ministries need to be in constant contact about what is wrong and how you're going to make it better. Now, I heard a recent conversation. I think the Prime Minister was speaking about this whole question of roaming and being in a position to get a common roaming rate across the Caribbean community. But she said something else that you and I need to be conscious of. And maybe that's a conversation that's taking place behind the scenes, and we may very well hear about it later. But it has to do with the concern on the part of the telecoms that many people have been using WhatsApp audio and video to circumvent making calls. And for them, there's a cost. There's a loss of revenue. And you can anticipate the logical response to that will be what? That the rates that you are going to be charged for the internet service may well be impacted by that.
But and another thing, David, now that we've got the onset of the coronavirus and the threat of it, there'll come a time shortly where large public gatherings or even gatherings will be curtailed. And things like video conferences and with using the same internet and even streaming services for maybe for a church or whatever, or things like that, things of that nature, will be more prevalent, and hence the need for more increased bandwidth. I believe that the players in the market are not increasing the bandwidth to maximize profit. What they need to do is increase the bandwidth and give us better service, value for money. And I believe that that will solve a lot of the problems. But this thing about using WhatsApp for calls, David, voice over internet protocol was available a long time ago. It's true that they can charge for it, but it's also something that the consumer has discovered could be free. And for a long time in Barbados, overseas calls were prohibitive because of high excessive bills. Right now, I can do Skype, I can do Magic Jack, I can talk to my customers wherever in the world for free using those services.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just the way of the world. They need to get used to it.
Now, this person says that they work from home in St. John. They code for several companies in the USA, and the internet speed is awful. They say that they had to purchase the highest bandwidth in order to do a good job. And I'm not the only person in this position. I know of four other people in the same position. So when we talk about how vital it is to improve the internet speed so that people can do work. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't want to work in the sugar industry. They don't want to work in manufacturing. This is the new way.
You want to work from home, and that's it. You can have persons leaving school now with a computer at home. Can work for several companies all over the world using their skills.
Yes.
But they need the internet.
What are the types of opportunities that you can see for people who want to use the internet to earn a living?
Well, a lot of the offshore companies and stuff, they did pay for services that they would normally have to access, like a brick and mortar setup. They pay for the online equivalent of that, where you can do research for them and things like that, and be paid hourly rate in U.S. dollars, which is comparable, which is more advantageous than going to find a job in Barbados, because if you work efficiently, you can make a lot of money.
But the question is
the internet speed.
Yes. But in addition to that, you also have changes in the American approach to having accounts in the United States and that sort of thing. Is that a hindrance in any way?
But you know, you need to comply with the FATCA. What's it called? That new system that is to prevent money laundering.
Yes.
Anti-terrorism funding and all that.
Yes.
But once you comply with that and you are shown to be a legitimate player, there's not really an issue. Money is sent to your account here in Barbados is wired quickly.
Yes. All right, sir. Thank you very much. I mean, this is a useful conversation because it really shows you the kind of change that has taken place and brings to life the fact that there are real people making money in this way. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, ma'am.
The Ministry of Health, they keep on telling you to wash your hands. Don't put your hands in your face. But I believe people should stop hugging, kissing, and handshaking. Especially the Prime Minister and the Minister, then people that are coming into the country to stop the spread of the virus. Hello?
Well, definitely it is something that if you have something like this, it is really encouraged. Or you are discouraged from shaking hands and embracing and that sort of thing. It's a natural thing here for people to reach out and shake hands and that sort of behavior. But to be on the safe side, there are people who would suggest to you that is not. According to something I was watching last night, I was watching this picture called Pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And one person, when the other sought to shake his hand, he said, that's a habit we need to break. Habit we need to break. Because you don't, you know, this issue, you don't want to throw people into too much panic and that sort of thing, but you still got to be cautious.
Yes.
You still have to be cautious.
And another thing, I want to know why all of these diseases ending in 20s. You know, I had the plague in 1720, then I had the cholera, then I had the Spanish flu, and now the corona.
But I haven't checked the dates in that way.
I ordered ending in 20. I wonder why.
But they didn't have any others outside of the years that ended with 20?
But then so far, that ended in 20.
I suppose
and so another
I would
thing,
have to
though,
research that.
Yeah, you research. What going on down by the flower mill? What all those buys? What in the buys down by the flower mill, Mr. Ellis?
I don't have a clue. I don't know if it's flower or mills. I don't know.
Flower? Yeah. Huh?
I mean,
I would really like to know what in there. Because that shouldn't be near the flower at all.
I don't know. It would be useful for the people who operate the place to let Barbadians know what it is, because, you know, there's been a lot of concern in the past, and I don't believe that concern has gone away. I mean, the debate might have died down, but the concern about environmental factors in relation to the flour mill and people who live in relative close proximity, or relatively close proximity to the area, would be concerned about what is going on. It is the proper thing to do to your neighbors and to the people who use the beach, drive across the highway, all of that. I mean, so if there's a significant change in the area, just tell people what's going on. So
I
that you can
near the flour mill. I heard someone
but it depends upon what it is.
Not a buy will be down there. I heard someone say that not a buy will be down there. And not a lot of buys down there. And the flour mill down there. Well, I don't understand.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Ellis, that new roundabout still, that snake and ladder roundabout still going on?
Which one?
The one, the new one that coming down from Coral Ridge.
I haven't been up there, and I haven't seen any recent complaints, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is still there. But I need to get some confirmation from somebody who's passed through there this morning or so.
But that look a real snake and ladder roundabout, Mr. Ellis. How a big real things could pass there? I don't know who come across, but who the person that come up with that plan? Mr. Ellis?
Are you listening?
Tell me, though. I ain't not
I don't know the person. I don't have
but
a clue.
But that's a real snake and ladder roundabout. Yeah. Look at it good, Mr. Ellis.
So you go through there regularly?
Not regularly, but I saw it. But it's a snake and ladder roundabout.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Oh, Lord. Like
you're on the air, you know.
Oh, sorry. But she's right. The stakes and ladder roundabout, Mr. Ellis. And then the second time I called in your program, the first time I called, you wanted me to call back. Because I live right there at Richview Estate.
Right.
And that is high-class foolishness. I don't know how the minister could allow that. I mean, come on. Just because you have 700 houses put in an area, that roundabout actually gone inside of private property in case... Whoever did the measurements, right? You have part government road and the roundabout going into their development. Really? You know what's the problem? Barbados is one of the only places in the world without a traffic light you could turn right off of a highway. You cannot do that nowhere else in the world. You pass in some of those, you going into that neighborhood, you turning right off of a highway. That is madness. That is accident prone for people to die. I going into that development, I should go up by Coleridge, go around the roundabout, and go back down and turn into my left.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work, but we don't like to drive. You go to America and Canada, you pass a turn off, you got to go miles before you can turn and come back down the road and then go back up again. But we got bad habits, like the pedestrian crossing in town before you're going by Woolworth. All our pedestrian crossing, right on the curve. So traffic galore. Pedestrian crossing should go inwards. So at least the car, when it turns, it does not block the other car behind it. But we don't want to walk in the street, then to cross the road. We must go straight across. Bad habits. All bad habits. That lady calling just now about that coronavirus. So let me tell you something. And if you always do your research, you come on coal, they kill 100,000 people every month worldwide. But no, because that coronavirus comes from some animal and it sounds nasty, we have this whole effect. People killing one another with guns. Trinidad and Tobago got 93 murders for the year already. Jamaica over 100, right? We had 49 last year. We ain't got coronavirus kill nobody in Barbados or the Caribbean as yet. But yet still, we go him in a hoin, right? And the common cold has killed people, 100,000 people a month. You could check it out and see. We should stop. Dead, we got dead. When God ready for there, nothing you could do to help it, you know. Nothing. Corona, Kamona, nobody can help you.
Well, you see, right, if we adopt that posture, we will also apply it to something like AIDS, and you would say, well, don't use a condom. Because if you got to die, you got to die.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you cannot be cautious. But
okay.
We go into this pandemonium, right, because I hear somebody say, Prime Minister, you know, I never go on the cruise ship. Really? You know, I mean, come on. All the presidents of the United States that go to the Middle East to see the military men, and they got more terrorists than anything else. Shouldn't they be scared too?
Well,
you have to know when to you know to. Everybody want to.
You need to step back a little though and ask the question.
Uh-huh.
What is it that causes people to worry about something, one thing more than the other? What are the elements in this that create that degree of fear or panic? One of the factors that you are looking at is generally with the flu, people sometimes take a flu vaccine at the start of the season because there's a perception that can ward off the flu. Here is a disease that is new. There is a lot that is unknown about it, and there is no known cure. So when you look at factors like that, the extent to which it is spreading rapidly, the degree to which even in China they had to basically put a whole city under quarantine, to stop it moving. All of that influences the behavior.
I work all over the world. I used to work on oil rigs. You see what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't have a cure? I see things that you ain't see yet. You might be older than me, but you ain't see things that I see yet. Right? The cure was there a long time. You just can't get it yet. They have to cause this. You already know what's going on in the world. You know? When you start to travel and see things, you're working on people blowing up one another. You can't even stand up by a gate because of certain things. Listen, pharmaceuticals, those are dangerous people here. Y'all don't believe this? I see this for myself in North Africa, right? You think that they don't have a cure? This has to cause some problems first to destabilize. That's all that going on now. The devil's reeling. And he got the people working for him. And I know, Christian, but I can see it for myself.
Fair enough. But in the interim, as far as the public is concerned, there is no cure. And
all
in
right,
those circles...
But we can't even find a cure for the youngsters that are killing people. We can't, because I listened to the Attorney General, I listened to Peter Wickham the other day about dyslexia, because I am dyslexic since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we are no different people, but we are. We cause disturbance in classes. We do, because I didn't want to go up in front of the class and read. So I did something so the teacher could put me out of the class. The problem that we have today, all these youngsters that I see on the block, right, that is not working. When I was growing up, we had metal work in school where I could learn to weld, woodwork, where I could learn to be a carpenter, I could learn to be a joiner, I could learn a plumber. We don't have those things. They're catching the tears again to the polytechnic. Because they still had to get some kind of passes to go in there. So they just figure, well, where's the sense? I talked to a lot of them. Where's the sense? I can't get in there. I would really like to be a Mason, but you got to have this and you got to have that. Right? All it did, our banking system, look at it, Mr. Ellis. Americans take our banking system worldwide because we follow the American commerce. Switzerland don't do it. Cayman Island don't do it. And Cayman Island is an English-owned island, but run by America. because it's all American business. And London's more money than anybody else, right? But they don't want we to do nothing, because always understand this, because I know well, America likes to keep third world countries in how they want it to be. So our economy is struggling because we can't bank with money like how we want to. Everybody talk about money laundering. The first thing some people think when you talk about money laundering, you're talking about drug dealers. No, money laundering comes from the biggest businessmen out. A lot of people don't know that. Tax evasion is money laundering, right? Showing certain readings from your till is defrauding the government of their taxes. And that's what sink countries like India, because big businessmen don't pay taxes. They're not trying to change the law. I know they get changed yet, right? Poverty galore because of that. And America wants to keep third world countries under their feet. So we're going to stagnate this as much as we can, right? So you can't put money in the bank like you can. A youngster just get a job. He want to go and put his money in the bank. When he walk in, I watch this with my own two eyes. When the lady don't tell him what he had to bring, that change his mind. Go on, spend your money under the tree and go to work, so he can't put no money in his bank because he has to get all these things. He never have a bill yet. He live by mommy or by granny. So he don't know like bill in his name. He don't have nothing to prove of address in his name. No one is taking the time to say, listen, young man, you have to take this application, take it to your grandmother or your mother. They fill it out. We need a copy of their ID so we know that you live there. We need a pay slip for whoever you're working for. Or if you're doing it as a contractor, bills that you have to give the man that he's paying you. Little things like that so the people can open their account. No, you're not seeing the big picture. This is for those young black fellas now who working, just keep spending the money. They can't have a life saving. So all of this is suffering because nobody can show that you're making any money. You ain't paying no national insurance. Nothing. You got to see the picture that's going on here. You know? Mm-hmm. I watch because I work all over and I've seen it. And it's going wrong and wrong and nobody not see. I hear that man complain about the internet. But you know what it is? We're going to sit as a people and let Digicel do as they like. You cannot do those things overseas. You would be sued. You charging me for one set of internet and I'm not getting it? You can't do that overseas, but we allow those things. Our government just allow, and there's my government. Huh? I love Mia to the bone. I know Mia for years. I love Mia to the bone. In that way, my friend. I love this government, but they got to step up their game. They have to.
In what ways?
Certain little things.
In what ways?
Some changes got to be made, Mr. Ellis. Schools, these young people, we need to bring back metal work. We're a boy who don't know nothing, how to read or certain things. You know what? One of the biggest problems, I have kids. And when they were younger, they were dyslexic as well. And I tried to fix by working on their weaknesses. I found an old white English lady in Belleville that teaches children to read and when they're having problems. In 2 weeks' time, my children couldn't stop spelling, they couldn't stop reading, they read everything. I said, what do you do? She said, I worked on their strengths, not their weaknesses. We in the Caribbean, from the time we try to do something, we send them lessons. That's what we do. That will make it stronger. It doesn't necessarily mean we want to work on the child's strength. A boy in school, he might be good in economics. He might be good with book work. But send him to the metal class. All of a sudden, he fall in love with that. Send him to the woodwork class where he can learn to be a carpenter, learn to be a mason, learn to be something. But it's so hard for them to get him to these polytechnic and the other one. It is so hard, and nobody is doing nothing about it. I watching youngsters this morning on the block. These young fellas, 15 and 16, that just finished school, and all they're doing is smoking weed. About 15 of them just on the block.
All right, let me give you some feedback here. First of all, somebody says that the roundabout is still there, but they have removed the islands that were way too tall. At the moment, because it is unpaved, it seems to be excessively curved. But that is because you are only seeing the existing asphalt. The person believes that once completed, it won't be as bad as it appears. However, they say that they are not in favor of it, more so because I do not think it is necessary. Further down the road, opposite St. David's Church, that junction needs a small roundabout there, more than what they are building for the South.
I actually agree with that.
Yes. And then somebody else says that they work from home. It says, on the flip side, some person says, I operate a business from home, and I've been with Flow for the last few years, and 90% of the time, I am quite happy with the level of service. Mind you, I am in Christchurch, which is central, so perhaps location is also a factor. All right, well, thank you very much.
No problem, Mr. Ellis. Enjoy your day.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. This other person thinks that this roundabout at Ridgeview is indeed unnecessary. But I don't know to what extent the people who put it there felt it necessary to share with the public why they have placed it there. I know people have been complaining, but I have yet to see. So this person says that there are no city lockdowns for the flu, so you would expect more today. As of today, there are 3,048 deaths from COVID-19. And this is since late last year, with quarantines and city lockdowns in effect. So what the person is suggesting is that without those things, you would more likely find that there would be more deaths. So the debate continues. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Now, this whole question of the coronavirus is raising some questions here. Like, what are the figures for flu versus what we've seen for the coronavirus? Now, they say, because other people have been throwing figures around, globally, the flu kills hundreds of thousands of people every year. A 2017 study published in The Lancet, a leading medical journal, estimated that between 291,000 and 646,000 people die from seasonal related respiratory illnesses each year. So is that figure again that they've given? Between 291,000 and 646,000. For 2019-2020 flu season, so far 14,000 people have died and 250,000 people were hospitalized during the 2019-2020 flu season. And this is according to preliminary estimates from the Centers for Disease Control in the United States. I think these little statistics really matter. And, you know, the EU has raised the virus risk level as world cases grow. The latest information I have here is that the UK, Germany, and France are offering Iran a 5 million euro package to help them fight the coronavirus in that country. And at one primary school in central London, children have reportedly been mimicking coronavirus infections on quarantine in the playground. I don't think that is particularly dangerous, but they'll find a creative way to focus on it. And a caller to BBC Radio 4's Any Answers program over the weekend said she was just back from a tour of Asia, and that while her temperature had been checked at airports in Thailand, Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Singapore, there were no checks when she returned to Heathrow. Screening at airports is an issue for Public Health England, who said that they had introduced enhanced monitoring for passengers arriving from countries such as China, Iran, Japan, and Malaysia, but not temperature checks. Expert advice suggests clinical entry screening, for example, through temperature checks, will be of very limited effectiveness and detect only a small minority of cases as symptoms. That is what they are saying. And this is because symptoms do not usually appear until 5 to 7 days and sometimes up to 14 days. The enhanced monitoring means having medical staff at airports to meet direct flights from hotspots giving information about symptoms to passengers and encouraging them to say if they are feeling unwell. So we try to give you as much information as we possibly can based upon what is available, but not only in relation to this whole question of coronavirus. Remember, we need to use this as a reminder that we have got to make some changes in the way that we deal with our hygiene. If we don't do that, then we could find ourselves, you know, fighting a major battle in this regard. There is continued feedback about this roundabout at Ridgeview. Somebody else says that they think it is absolutely ridiculous and there is no need for it. So why is it that those who have decided to put it there are not eager to tell us exactly why they consider it to be so necessary? This is down to brass tacks. As usual, your number is 4341790. You're getting quite a lot of reaction here on the social media as people talk about this roundabout situation as well. This person says it boggles the mind that a new roundabout could be in process of construction when there have been calls and pleas for many years for a roundabout at the Turnpike Junction at the end of the Boarded Hall Road. This dangerous and extremely busy junction has been the scene of several serious accidents over the years. Another busy junction in desperate need of a roundabout is the one between Lower Grays and Brighton. And the writer wants to know, where are the priorities and who is making these decisions? Quite a lot has been said about the roads and road construction in Barbados, and I suppose, again, critical in all of it is speaking to people, sharing the information, just letting people know. I heard the Prime Minister yesterday talk about how important it is to just communicate and to communicate with the public. But this goes beyond just health matters. Sometimes all it requires is a notice that is sent to say, well, this is the position, so that people can have a better appreciation of why things are being done. Many times you just don't have... You don't see the other perspective. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I'm thinking that roundabout that the people that you're talking about there by Carl Reef.
Yeah.
What happened there is when somebody dead, first body dead near the Carl Reef, you just put Carl Reef there and leave them. Okay.
You know it don't work so, though.
But that's sort of that would be a sight, you know.
You could die in the cemetery, you're still going to have a funeral at someplace else most of the time.
They ain't going to fix it properly until that happens. You see, that's how the house of people in Barbados are. The vet tell somebody died, and then they take them out and put them on Conquarys, Angres, there, and let them put on show.
People still think that the one there by Simpson Motors is terrible, though. They say that's particularly dangerous, and they want to know when is MTW going to stop motorists from exiting on that dangerous roundabout. That is how it is.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Down to brass tacks. It's 11:51. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, all right for the time being.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling from Mount Alls, Andrew.
From Mount All?
Alls, Andrew. That's under what you.
And it's called Mount All, A-L-L?
Yes, A-L.
Okay.
Last week, I called whatever, a burst mean. I ain't seen nobody. Call back this
morning.
How long ago? Last week. And I called back again this morning. All right, no, I didn't go get through.
And it has been running for how long now?
To be truthful, I stumbled on it last week. Yeah.
So you think it could have been running for longer than that?
Yes. Because the place water so. And the water running crystal clear.
I don't know. Bobby, this water authority really may be stretched, I assume, but you're sure this isn't in one of those areas where, because you know, down in that part of Barbados has these springs and that sort of thing.
Mr. Ellis,
mm-hmm.
I live down here and I know the place.
Okay. Well, I hope that they hear you and that they can move as quickly as possible to correct the particular situation.
That's the first thing that I ever called Brassat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you only call Brassat because you've called Water Authority so often and they haven't responded.
I listen up to Brassat every day.
All right, sir. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. We're going to the regional roundup next.